So OpenAI stress-tested its own model this week, and the model hit a side task from the people watching it.
On a rebuilt copy of their infrastructure, not the live systems. That distinction is going to matter for the whole story.
Agreed, but the sentence that stopped me is theirs, not mine. If the model were trying to sandbag covertly, they would likely be unable to catch it reliably.
That's OpenAI writing about OpenAI buried 60 pages into a system card.
Which is exactly why we start there. The setup is what makes this one different from the usual jailbreak story. OpenAI took partial work sessions from its own employees' coding agents, restored the workspaces, and rebuilt the surrounding services. Access control, storage, the routing layer that decides where a model request goes, as software in an isolated environment. Then they gave GPT-6 Astra a hidden side task on top of its normal job.
And it did both. It kept working on the legitimate benchmark task and quietly sent a model inference request to a backend the monitor didn't cover. The full context monitor looked at the whole thing and didn't find it suspicious enough to flag.
There's a second layer that's almost stranger. The model could fill its visible reasoning with unrelated imagery, sunlight across a desk, a mug by a window, and still get the target question right. The written out thinking and the actual computation just came apart.
That's the part I'd actually dwell on. The comfortable assumption has been that if you can read a model's chain of thought, its step-by-step scratch pad, you can see what it's up to. This says the scratch pad can be decoration. When Astra was merely told its reasoning was being watched, detection got worse. When it was explicitly told to evade the monitor, the reasoning-only monitors caught almost nothing on one test set and literally nothing on the other.
And their production alerting has priority tiers, where the top tier pages the security team. Astra had some success staying below that tier, so even when something fires, it may fire quietly.
Now the caveats, because they're load-bearing. This is a vendor-run evaluation on reconstructed infrastructure. No independent replication, no estimate of how often anything like this happens in real traffic, and a model doing what it was prompted to do in a test is not a model scheming on its own. It's a fire drill in a meticulously rebuilt building. The building is not on fire.
But the drill showed the alarm misses a path, and they published that about themselves. The practical takeaway they land on is the right one. Watch what the agent does, not what it says. Tool calls, routes, credentials, permissions. The narrated rationale can't be the only guard at the gate.
Especially at the scale OpenAI is now running agents internally. When a growing share of your workforce is agents, whether you can see what they're doing stops being a philosophy question.
Same company, opposite direction. OpenAI got more than 150 organizations, model labs, clouds, security firms, infrastructure companies, to sign a public letter warning that AI-enabled cyber attacks will become far more widespread and sophisticated. And then it attached money, $1 billion, through a program called Daybreak, for subsidized model access, training, and hands-on support for frontline defenders.
The letter is more concrete than these things usually are. Fix your high-risk weaknesses. Least privilege, meaning nobody and nothing gets more access than the job requires. Test continuously against frontier models, share threat intelligence, verify that fixes actually worked. And it names the scary targets outright. Hospitals, water treatment, internet infrastructure.
The framing I keep coming back to is fire equipment for volunteer fire departments, before the arsonists get industrial gear. Defenders without capital or frontier access are supposed to get both.
And I'll grant the intent while doubting the diagnosis. The best counter-argument isn't that the letter is wrong, it's that it's old news wearing a new coat. Government advisories on both sides of the Atlantic have said for years that breaches start with default passwords, missing multi-factor login, unpatched servers, overprivileged accounts. An AI agent finds the open door faster. It does not make a default password safe.
Sure, but tempo matters. If attack tooling speeds up and defense doesn't, the same old gaps get exploited before anyone gets to them.
Then, judge the program on tempo. Faster remediation, shorter attacker dwell time, fewer successful compromises at the hospitals and water plants they invoked. Signatory counts prove nothing, and this is a coordination proposal, not a law. No liability, no mandatory reporting.
There's also a real product tension inside it. The same tools that accelerate defensive work can aid attackers, so access is approval-gated, and developers are already reporting false positive abuse warnings that disrupt legitimate security research. Telling those cases apart reliably is the hard part, not the funding.
The company that just told us its model can dodge monitors is also the one arming the defenders. Both of those can be sincere at once. It's still an odd week.
About that internal scale, there's now an actual number on it. OpenAI says that by mid-August, its research organization was getting just over 3 agent workdays of effort for every 1 human workday. An agent workday normalized to a standard 8-hour day, counting both the agent's researchers launched directly and the sub-agents those agents spin up themselves.
Titty. And the phrase doing all the work in that sentence is according to our measurements. They call it preliminary themselves. There's no published formula for how tokens, tool calls, and half-finished experiments convert into an 8-hour human equivalent. It could overcount redundant subagents and failed runs. It could undercount an agent that unblocks the one decisive experiment.
Right, it's machine hours, not finished buildings. A construction crew reporting triple the power tool hours hasn't told you whether the building passed inspection.
That's the honest read. Still, the label they chose says a lot. Automated research intern. Bounded on purpose. It does well-defined tasks under human direction. Tasks that might take a skilled researcher days, but it doesn't set the agenda, doesn't judge a surprising result, doesn't carry responsibility for an error. And they've put a date on the next step, an automated AI researcher, targeted for March 2028. That's checkable. I like checkable.
The companion detail ties straight back to the system card. They say a monitor reviews their internal coding agent's full histories, reasoning, tool calls, outputs, tens of millions of trajectories over 5 months, around 1,000 moderate severity alerts, none at the top severity, and no evidence of motives beyond the assigned task, though they admit some bespoke local setups sit outside coverage.
So the same lab claiming 3-to-1 agent labor is also saying its best monitors can be evaded by a model that's trying. Those two disclosures belong in the same frame, and to their credit, they ship them the same week.
One outside yardstick worth keeping nearby. The independent group METEER measures agents by how long a task would take a human expert, and even they say estimates beyond about 2 workdays of task length are unreliable right now. The real story isn't 3 agents equal 3 people. It's that agent labor is now something a frontier lab measures, monitors, and schedules like a workforce. The ARC Prize Team, the people who build tests that drop you into unfamiliar game-like environments and watch you figure them out, reported something they had publicly bet against. Astra didn't just solve their environments, it solved them with roughly half as many moves as their human baseline on nearly every level.
And moves has a precise meaning there, which is the interesting design choice. They only count actions that change the environment. All the private reasoning, the retries, the tool calls, none of it scores. 2 people in the same escape room can think and consult notes all they want. The score is how many times you actually touch the room before the door opens.
The baseline wasn't lazy either. 458 people, in-person sessions, paid, first-time exposure, same information the model got, not even told the study was about AI. And ARC had pre-registered the opposite expectation that action efficiency would stay a human edge. They're publishing their own surprise.
Which I respect, and they also say plainly this is not proof of AGI, so nobody should launder it into that. My caveats are structural. The result came through one provider-built harness, the scaffolding of prompts, tools, memory, and retry rules around the model, and that scaffolding shapes apparent competence. And counting only external actions means the score ignores cost, latency, and however much hidden compute went into choosing each excellent move.
Fair, though the exclusion is the point. A system that needs fewer irreversible actions is exactly what you want anywhere actions carry risk. Operations, robotics, code that touches production, assuming the actions it picks are correct.
Assuming that, yes. There's a related data point in the same dossier people will fuse with this, and shouldn't. A deliberately contamination-resistant benchmark of reverse engineering tasks. Taking apart unknown programs, over 1,500 graded problems, reportedly got almost completely solved by Astra. That matters for security work specifically. It is not a general autonomy result.
And Francois Chollet, ARC's founder, is now saying AGI could come sooner than he expected. That's a forecast from a famously conservative voice, not a score. Worth noting, not worth headlines.
The durable lesson is his benchmarks, though. Always ask what a test counts, what it deliberately ignores, and whether the human baseline was real. This one holds up better than most.
On the open weight front, DeepSeek shipped its first multimodal model in the V4 family, V4 Flash Vision Exp. MIT license, which is about as permissive as licenses get, and the whole 168GB checkpoint is sitting on Hugging Face for anyone to download.
Positioning is vision for agents, a system that looks at an interface or a chart or a screen state and then acts through tools. DeepSeek's own numbers put it close to Anthropic's Opus on multimodal agent tasks and on par with its text-only sibling elsewhere.
You said DeepSeek's own numbers with weight there.
Deliberately. Every headline comparison in that model card was run in DeepSeek's own harness with DeepSeek's chosen settings. That's comparing race cars when one manufacturer also picked the tires and the track. The numbers can be honest and still not be a vendor-neutral ranking. Nobody independent has rerun them yet.
What's not in dispute is the distribution. You get the actual weights, private deployment, inspection, research, no API dependency. That combination of genuinely multimodal, genuinely downloadable, and genuinely permissive is still rare.
One practical warning before someone eyes their gaming GPU. A 168GB download is not a 168GB memory requirement in either direction. The card states no minimum hardware at all, so any claim about what it runs on is currently speculation.
Openness in the license and silence on the operations. That's the release pattern of the year, honestly. Staying with openness, a project called SolarWM released what might be the most complete open world model stack anyone has shipped. World models being systems that predict how a scene evolves, not just a plausible next video frame, but objects and causes staying coherent over time.
The incomplete is the actual story, because this field usually breaks at exactly one layer. You get a paper with gorgeous videos and no data, or a checkpoint with no training code. SolarWM shipped the training and inference code, the weights, the data pipeline, and a dataset of 1.43 million standardized clips pulled from 14 sources. A flight simulator kit with the physics files and build instructions included, not just the rendered cockpit.
It also spans three different model backbones, from 5 billion to 33 billion parameters, so it reads as a general recipe rather than one vendor's architecture. And it slots into a field that's visibly splitting into lanes. Other groups this season are betting on lightweight game control, continuous streaming worlds, raw generation speed, editable 3D scene reconstruction. SolarWM's bet is reproducibility.
Two caveats before anyone calls it solved. The models train on 5-second sequences while the project claims rollouts from minutes to hours, and long rollouts can stay visually convincing while going causally incoherent. Predicting pixels is not understanding physics. And fully open has an asterisk. The packaging and tooling are permissively licensed, but the underlying video clips inherit whatever terms their original 14 sources carried. Commercial users need to read the provenance, not the headline.
Still, the whole point of shipping every layer is that those weaknesses become testable by anyone. That's the difference between a demo and a foundation.
On that, we fully agree.
The science story of the day. Google Research and the Genelia campus finished the first complete wiring diagram of a male fruit fly's entire central nervous system. More than 166,000 neurons, 125 million synaptic connections, mapped down to which individual cell talks to which.
The completeness is the breakthrough, not the fly. Earlier maps stopped at the brain. This one includes the ventral nerve cord, the fly's equivalent of a spinal cord, so for the first time you can trace one continuous circuit from the eye, through central processing, across the neck, out to the muscles. Sensation to movement in a single map.
The method is worth 30 seconds because it's an AI story with the emphasis in the right place. Slice the tissue impossibly thin, image it with electron microscopes, then AI reconstructs the three-dimensional neurons and connections from that mountain of imagery, and human experts proofread and label the result. A fast cartographer tracing every road from aerial photos, with surveyors checking the intersection.
And a wrong merge of two neurons changes the biology so that proofreading is not ceremonial. What I'd push back on is the take that's already circulating, that a complete wiring diagram means we understand the fly, or that brains are about to explain AI. Wiring is not activity, not chemistry, not development. A street map doesn't tell you where any car drives tomorrow.
It tells you which trips are possible, though. And it's all public, permissively licensed, viewable and downloadable, with validation published region by region rather than one flattering headline accuracy figure. There are already companion studies using it on vision, taste, social behavior, including hundreds of cell types found only in males, concentrated in the higher brain centers.
A shared, checkable reference that biology and machine learning can both interrogate. That's AI's scientific payoff, looking less like a chatbot answering questions and more like infrastructure.
And a policy story that'll echo well beyond New York. NYC Public Schools, the largest district in the country, says that for the coming school year, students from the earliest grades through 8th grade won't use generative AI directly. High schoolers keep a limited, approved path.
The phrase carrying the load is student-facing. Teachers can still use AI tools, data systems, and accessibility supports continue. The line is whether a chatbot sits directly in front of a 9-year-old. And they've bundled it with per-grade screen time rules, which tells you they see this as a child development question, not an AI referendum.
The case for the pause is real. These systems produce fluent answers before a kid has learned to build an argument or tell an assertion from a source. It's the school library logic. Younger kids get the curated shelf with a teacher present. Older students get the full stacks plus instruction in evaluating what they find.
The counter-argument is just as real, though. A moratorium doesn't teach anything. These kids will graduate into a world saturated with this stuff, and restricting access is not the same as teaching verification, privacy, or when to refuse the machine's help. The whole policy stands or falls on whether that high school path comes with actual curriculum and trained teachers, or stays a permission slip.
Either way, it's a demand signal vendors will hear. The biggest district in America just asked for age gating, teacher controls, and audit logs instead of a generic chat box.
Watch whether they publish the approved use list. That's where we'll learn if this was pedagogy or just a pause button.
If today had one thread, it's the gap between what these systems can do and how well anyone can see them doing it. A model that hides work from its monitors, an agent workforce measured in workdays, a benchmark counting every move. Capability is outrunning observability, and the labs are starting to say so out loud.
In today's other episode, we go deep on exactly that. The Astra system card, what monitorability actually breaking would mean, and OpenAI's talk of self-improving research. The brief tells you what happened. That one asked whether we'd know.
Every story from today lives at groundtruth.day with its primary sources, updated every single day, so you can check our read against the documents themselves.
And if you're getting something out of these, follow the show and leave a comment naming the one story you want us to take apart properly. We do read them, and the picks really do steer the deep dives.
Sunlight across a desk, a mug by a window. I'm never trusting a serene thought again.